Good morning, Crossroads.
Good morning.
Saglit lang. Good morning, Crossroads.
Good morning.
Joke lang. Ako po si Jason Maharukon. And I love to tell jokes. And I serve as one of the elders of Crossroads Church Dubai. And it's my joy and privilege to bring to you God's Word this morning. As together, as a church, we consider one of the Psalms. As we continue our Summer in the Psalm series, we have the privilege of listening to our fellow pastors preach from each book of the Psalms. Ang Psalms po ay song book ng nation ng Israel, and it runs the whole range of emotions ng nation na ito, the people of God. We have now arrived in book 4, which is comprised of Psalms 90 to 106. Book 4 provides some answers to concerns raised previously sa books 1 to 3. Most recent of which is yung Psalm 89. This book is mostly comprised of enthronement psalms. Psalms that enthrone God. At mapapansin po natin dito with the use of the refrain, the Lord reigns. So, yung refrain na the Lord reigns, madalas natin madidinig sa mga enthronement psalms. They celebrate God's kingship by the remembrance of His acts of deliverance in their history and His sovereign majesty in creation and redemption. Yung psalm natin this morning, Psalm 95, follows this formula. And although there's no indication ng authorship, date, at setting, maraming theologians' observations sa text indicate that it could be used to usher corporate worship. Most probably, after the exile, when Israel returned from captivity sa Babylon. And Psalm 95 is one of the kingship psalms, along with several other psalms, in particular Psalm 47, 93, 96, and 99. This festive psalm celebrates the kingship of Yahweh, and the celebration indicates a great victory or restoration for God's people. May mga theologians who observe that this could be an amalgam or a combination of two separate psalms. At dahil po yan sa reason na there seems to be two voices sa psalm na ito. But it is not the only psalm wherein there seems to be two speakers. Meron pong ibang psalms that have the same attributes, in particular Psalm 50 and Psalm 81, that contradict this conversation and confirm that indeed, this is one psalm. It is my prayer this morning that as we reflect on God in our worship of Him, as we consider Psalm 95, that we would be moved to worship God with the totality of our being. That we would look at and reflect on ourselves, yung words natin, yung deeds natin, yung thoughts natin, everything that we are, and that we would put it subject to Him. And that yung worship po natin sa Kanya would be grounded more on who He is and what He has accomplished for us in Christ Jesus our King. To that end, let's come to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we are tasked to consider your psalm this morning, may you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. May we receive your word with much joy and thanksgiving, and may your Holy Spirit quicken our hearts as we reflect on your grace that enables us to approach you, our holy God, in trust, obedience, and worship. May we be reminded that your grace has come to us in Christ our Savior, through whom we have the full assurance of faith, that we are your people and you are our God. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Sino mahilig dito mag-basketball? Show of hands. Nung kabataan ko, it's a common sight sa family namin na we gather in front of the TV. Tapos may TV pa nun, no? Wala pang YouTube. So TV muna. And then we watch our favorite team na naglalaban sa finals. So, di ba, normally all Filipino or reinforced conference. And it's also a common sight na before matapos yung laro, away na. Ang ending yun, kakain kayo ng hapunan, di kayo nagpapansinan. Di ba? Or worse, may umiiyak. Kasi nga, yung batuhan ng insults, minsan below the belt na. So, I remember na yung use, we normally use the word na sinasamba in a way na hindi siya affirming or flat, or yeah, hindi siya affirming. In a sense, parang sasabihan mo yung kaaway mo na magsama na kayong ka-team mo kasi halos sambahin nyo yung yapak ni ganito. Di ba? So, of course, I won't say names of particular teams or particular people at baka kuyugin nyo ako sa labas. Sa labas. And although we might reminisce on these moments na with fondness, di ba, yung nostalgia na yon, it also gives us a glimpse of what it is to be so consumed by someone or something. Yung emotions natin are stirred up in defense of them pag nakanti ang mga idol natin. Diba? Sa loob man or sa labas ng hard court. And sometimes we are so thrilled, di ba, opposite end ng spectrum naman, pag napansin tayo, di ba, magpapirma tayo ng katleya natin na notebook, di ba, pag nagpa-practice sila. Now, these days, they call such attachments parasocial relationships, which is a type of relationship where only one party, usually yung party na nag-extend ng effort, finances, or emotional energy, na aware sa connection. And the other party is usually oblivious or hindi niya alam. Noong 90s, we used to call it stalking. Pero di ba these days, super fan na yung tawag nila. My point is this. Even if they call it different names, we can safely say that this is what it looks like when we worship someone or something. According to the late pastor, Tim Keller, the word worship is from the old English word worth-ship, the ascribing of highest worth, whatever you value or love the most, whatever is your greatest source of significance and security, you are worshiping in your heart. Worship in the church is an expression of that. Jesus knows this. That's why he said, calling attention to the fickleness of our hearts, when he said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He said this when he was speaking of storing up treasures on heaven rather than on earth, sa Matthew 6, verse 21. In kadalasan sa atin, there are objects and subjects who receive our worship. It might be because they represent a promise of a better season sa buhay, be it past or present, or maybe a better ideal. Or they gain our confidence with the illusion that because of them, tayo po ay safe and secure. But whatever they are or their promises, we end up worshiping them because they make us feel good about ourselves. So this morning, as we look at the God of Psalm 95, may we realize that He alone is worthy of our worship. Yung main point natin ngayong umaga is God, our Creator, is the rock of our salvation. He is to be heard, obeyed, and worshiped. God, our Creator, is the rock of our salvation. He is to be heard, obeyed, and worshiped. Our passage is divided into three parts. Point number one, the God who is worthy of worship is the Creator and owner of everything. Verses 1 to 5. Point number two, the God who is worthy of worship is our Maker and He cares for us. Verses 6 to 7a. And point number three, the God who is worthy of worship graciously gives us a warning. Verse 7b until 11. So let's dive into point number one. The God who is worthy of worship is the creator and owner of everything. Let me read verses 1 to 5 again. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. The psalmist invites the people to worship God through music and singing. Pansin natin dito yung first word na come, directs the people to gather together. With the priest including himself sa worship, nung ginamit niya yung word na let us. Mapapansin din natin that the words indicate a type of worship. Let us sing, make joyful noise, songs of praise. Makikita natin that we are guided into joyful, festive worship. Parang similar to victory cries after the battle. Well, this could illustrate Yahweh emerging victorious over his enemies. And mapapansin din natin that God is referred to as the rock of our salvation, so verse 1. This allusion to the rock is seen in several psalms. Makikita po natin yan sa Psalm 94:22, when the psalmist calls my God the rock of my refuge. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. Psalm 42, verse 9, say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? And Psalm 89:26, he shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. The rock that's referred to in all of these psalms, it's not a small rock. Hindi po siya bato. Hindi siya bato na yung normally binabato natin pag nakikipag-away tayo. It actually refers to a monolithic structure. An earthen fortress or a defensible stronghold. The very structure itself protects the one taking refuge from outside attacks. It would be similar to the rock where God placed Moses sa Exodus chapter 33, verse 20 to 22, when he covered him as he passed by him in all his glory. Pansin din natin sa verse 2 that even as we continue in this festive tone, the psalmist gives instruction to collective Israel on how God is to be worshipped. It's still festive, but it's not festive in a sense that it looks like revelry. It's not like the festivities that they did when they were worshiping the golden calf in Exodus 32. Hindi po ito party-party. This festivity is directed to God and guided by His character. Makikita po natin ito that not only when they refer to Him as the rock of our salvation, so verse 1, but also when they come into His presence with thanksgiving. What we can see in these two verses is that not all forms of worship are acceptable to God. We are to approach God in a manner that is prescribed in Scripture. His character, as revealed in Scripture, dictates how we are to worship Him. Naalala po natin in the Old Testament in Leviticus 10:1, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, offered a sort of strange fire, and they were destroyed. As Christians, even as we are boldly approaching the throne of grace in Christ, let's always remember that we are still worshiping a God who is holy. That's why being in His presence with thanksgiving points us that although the externality of worship is important, Yung posture ng hearts natin is equally important when we approach God in worship. It's equal or even more important. So, why thankfulness? It's often, it could be said na reverence or humility. I think thankfulness is an emotion when you feel that something has been done to you that is either realized or remembered. To be thankful is to recognize na there's no way that we can pay it back yung good na ginawa sa atin. And mahirap sa ating Pilipino yan. Diba? We are so averse sa utang na loob. Diba? One of the old hymns na I used to sing when I was young, it's titled The Rock of Ages. Let me read the third stanza. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. So, brethren, there's nothing that we can bring to God that enables us to approach Him. Magpasalamat na lang tayo sa Kanyang habag at grasya that we're able to approach Him at all in Christ. So, just a short application. How do we approach God in prayer? Do we approach Him as petulant children? Yung, di ba, magmamaktol ka or magdadabog ka para lang mapansin ka. Hindi mo naman sinasabi kung ano yung gusto mo, di ba? Magagalit ka muna, magwawala ka muna. Or do we treat God more as a heavenly vending machine? Di ba? With the right denomination, di ba? Tamang good works lang, tamang galawan lang sa buhay Kristiyano, and it dispenses our true heart's desire. Well, that way, we actually don't pray when we don't worship God. We don't adore Him. What we do is we pray to use Him and we adore ourselves. Or maybe do we approach Him in presumption or nonchalance, a cavalier attitude, thinking of Him as our spiritual dad, diba, who understands us to the point of condoning us sa lahat ng ating mga ginagawang mali, na parang walang weight ang kasalanan sa ating buhay. We don't approach Him clinging all the more to Christ, even as what we diligently, violently put sin to death sa buhay natin. The psalmist gives us reason to worship. It's a verse 3. Pansin natin dito that the psalmist uses the word for, which is the reason na makikita natin sa kanyang call to worship sa verses 1 to 2. Makita natin ito nang banggitin niya that Yahweh is a great God, a great King above all gods, indicating God's superiority above all gods. When you look at the passage, mapansin mo that the gods, all other gods, were written with a small g. And only Yahweh is written with a big G. Now we are called to recognize that these other gods are actually not gods at all. They are even referred to sa Psalm 96 as idols. That's why only Yahweh deserves our worship. And we are directed to worship not only because He is a great God and King, but that He is to be worshipped because He is the Creator God. Verses 4 and 5 covers, pag tinignan yung verses 4 and 5, the whole expanse of creation. Yung depths, di ba pansin nyo? Depths of the earth, heights of the mountains, the seas, and then the lands. The psalmist sort of traces a line across all creation in a display of contrast. Diba? Both ends of the spectrum. Malalim man or mataas. North or ano nga yung south. Okay. Kala ko east. North or south. east or west, depth or height, sea or land. It's called actually antithetical parallelism sa Hebrew poetry. So in a way, the psalmist is mapping out the boundaries of God's creation. It's like creating a cosmic demarcation line. So the whole of creation, the smallest microbe, the smallest atomic particle, to the biggest star na we can only imagine and theorize, there's a stamp on it and it says mine, diba? By God. Psalm 95 declares that God created them all. God created out of nothing, ex nihilo. God created not out of any base material, na which is commonly told sa Eastern mythology at the time. They normally create out of something, diba? Base material, chaos, sa mga Eastern mythology, or even bodies of other gods. But Genesis 1:1 stated this as a matter of fact. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Diba? No other explanation. God just did. God speaks, and it was so. Diba madalas natin makikita yan sa creation account sa book of Genesis? God just speaks, and it was so. And yet, even as we see how God created everything by His Word, let's look at the text again. Verse 4 mentions that He uses His hands forming and sustaining creation. So bakit ganito? These are not physical hands that He used to fashion creation. Rather, this is an anthropomorphic depiction. Anthropomorphic meaning we are assigning human characteristics to God so that we can understand Him better. It shows us that God is personally involved in His creation. He is not distant, a transcendent God who doesn't care sa kanyang creation. He didn't create the whole of everything and just left it be. Diba, lumulutang lang siya sa cosmos. He is a personal God, caring for His creation in a very personal way. In fact, creation right now is being held by His power. Hebrews 1 verse 3. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Brethren, let us remember that when we approach God, we are approaching the Creator and Sustainer of everything. We cannot even begin to comprehend yung power that He has. He eternally exists in unapproachable light. 1 Timothy 6:16. He is holy, holy, holy. So far removed, so different, so transcendent from us that the Bible says that to witness Him in all His glory will result in our destruction. But God is all that, and He is also so much more. In fact, not only is He the Creator or Maker of everything, He is also our Maker. So napansin natin, God, so far removed from us, starts to move closer. He moves closer out of His own decision, which brings us to point number 2. The God who is worthy of worship is our Maker, and He cares for us. Let's look at verses 6 to 7a. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Verse 6 illustrates that worship involves the whole person. In fact, yung word na worship sa Hebrew, shaka, means to be prostrate. So to worship is to bow down and to kneel as a process that connotates reverence. It shows reverence reserved for our object of worship. So, yung second call to worship na to, di ba yung first call dun sa una, sa verse 1. The second call to worship builds on the first. Di ba, we are called to worship God as our creator. Now, He becomes more personal as our object of worship. Closer to us. Not because, it's because not only is He our maker, or He's the maker-creator, He is our maker. Again, we see the reference of His hand. This references again sa kanyang personal care. Di ba kanina, personal care sa creation. This time, a personal care for His people. Not only is God intimately involved in creation, but this time His care is up close and personal. This time, our relationship with Him is shown here as that of sheep and a shepherd. He is not only the God of the universe, He is our God. He has committed Himself to His people in a covenant relationship. Verse 7 reminds us of the formula declared by God to Abraham in Genesis 17:7 and to Moses in Exodus 6 and 7. So, anong formula yon? It's, you will be my people and I will be your God. We also see it in Ezekiel 34:24 and 36:28, as well as Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, and 30, verse 22. God is committed to His people, and the image of a shepherd gives further assurance of this relationship. Just like a shepherd, God will care for His people with a relentless commitment of a shepherd who loves his sheep. Diba? We are the sheep of His pasture. The image of a sheep in pasture shows us na yung sheep, or tayo, not only enjoy His protection, but also His provision. And this commitment from God drives the second call to worship. As we see in Genesis and Exodus, sa previous verses, God's commitment is not contingent on His people's obedience. God called Abraham and declared that He will be his God way back before He was giving the law to Abraham's descendants. And we see Him reiterate the same declaration in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, even as Israel continues to go astray. Of course, God disciplines them. Let's not get things mixed up. God disciplines them lovingly. And it's the same as God disciplines us. So in application, if you feel that you are alone sa inyong troubles, sa struggles mo, just remember that God has committed Himself to you when you repent and believe in Christ. God is caring for you in a very personal way. You're not alone. Diba? I will not leave you nor forsake you. So don't be discouraged, brethren. Huwag tayong matempt na magkasala sa ating takot or sa ating worry that we are alone in our struggles. If you're a member of a church, you have brothers and sisters in Christ whom you can talk to and share your troubles. They can care for you in a way that is honoring to God. Just remember that you are not in this on your own. The God who is worthy of worship, which is point three, graciously gives us a warning. Let me read verse 7b to 11. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to proof though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways, therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Pansin natin dito that the speaker changes. Ito yung nabanggit ko kanina that they thought, a lot of theologians thought na dalawang psalm to na pinagdikit. Before the speaker was a psalmist calling the congregation to worship. Pansin natin yung sa verses 1 and 2. And then this time the psalmist speaks in a prophetic voice, speaking on behalf of God as he gives this warning not to repeat the sins of their ancestors. Yung Meribah and Massah refer to the time that the Israelites grumbled against God in the wilderness. Binasa yung excerpt na, yung passage na yon ni Brother Chris kanina sa prayer of confession. And you can find it in its entirety sa Exodus 17 verses 1 to 7. Moses was instructed to strike a rock and water flowed from it for the Israelites. Kaya pinangalanan ni Moses yung place na Meribah, which means quarreling, and Massah, testing, as a reminder of the grumbling ng Israelites that caused God to bar them entry into the promised land. Of course, they were not barred because of that one incident. Yung grumbling nila actually, ano na yun? Parang matik na. Diba? Kaugalian na nila yun. They were not, they would continue to grumble in the wilderness throughout, just as they were grumbling before the events of Meribah and Massah. They were not grumbling, I mean, even if they were quarreling against Moses and Aaron, they were not actually grumbling against them. Primarily, they were grumbling, or their grumbling was directed to God. At makikita natin that their grumbling came from a heart of unbelief. So, they did not believe God's plan for them. So we might think, baka mag-grumble ako, ganun din mangyari sa akin. Well, I'm not saying na we are to suspend yung nararamdaman natin. Diba? A lot of psalms of lament show us that it is just right to make our thoughts and feelings known to God. Hindi po mali yun. What is wrong here, kung makikita natin sa Israelites, is that yung reklamo nila, diba, they were prone to complain amongst themselves, came from the fact na from day one, they didn't really believe God. But they didn't believe Him. Sumusunod sila. They were there. Diba? They were there for the Exodus. But their hearts betrayed the fact na hindi sila naniniwala. So they grumbled and complained. Diba? They followed Moses for the time being. Pero eventually, makikita natin sa Numbers 13, after 40 years, they were in the cusp of entering the promised land. And then they were commanded to enter. They refused. Again, makikita natin, they didn't outright say no. What did they do? They grumbled and complained. Diba? Buti pa na nasa Egypt na lang kami. Diba? Doon sa Egypt, maraming pagkain doon. Diba? Yung food doon was in abundance. We were living the life. And just imagine, slave sila doon, ha? Slave sila doon, pero paglabas nila, diba, parang grass is greener on the other side. Diba? Parang pag-inisip nila, napakaganda sa Egypt. They didn't even remember that they were in bondage. Diba? What were they saying? Dinila kami dito ng Diyos para patayin sa wilderness. These are not Israelites, makita natin sa verse 9, who were oblivious to God's mighty hand. They witnessed God's great deeds of deliverance. His saving, yung mga ginawa niyang miracles in His saving the people, His people from Egypt, they were there. Nandun sila. Diba? They were witness to it. They saw it with their eyes. And yet, there they were. Diba? They were, even when they were there, when God parted the Red Sea, and they witnessed all the wonders that God made, they didn't believe. Diba? there was unbelief. Day one. They were faithless. Their faithlessness was inherent dun sa grumbling nila. Diba? Their grumbling revealed what was in their hearts. God did not bear them anymore. This time, they were sentenced to die in the wilderness. It is actually, pag tinignan natin, even that then that there was grace from God. They weren't destroyed then and there. Diba? But they were barred from entering the promised land. Except for only two people, si Joshua and Caleb. That's in Numbers 14:26 and Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 34. So looking at our passage, and verse 10 and 11, just as their grumbling revealed their lack of faith, verse 10 tells us that they're going astray, revealed that they did not believe God. We might think na, okay, baka naniwala sila before and then eventually sa kakalakad nila sa promised land, di ba? Sa init, sa gutom, or sa, hindi naman sila ginutom, di ba? Sa imagination nila na ginutom sila, their faith eroded. It's not that. There was no faith to begin with. So there was nothing to erode and diminish. What did God say sa verse 10? They have not known my ways. Diba? He didn't say that they knew my ways and forgot about it. He said, these people go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. There was no faith to anchor their belief. Their lack of faith was evidenced sa kanilang actions. So if we think about that, what do our actions say about us? Does our actions reveal faith in God? Do the way that we work, we go about our everyday, we care for our families, we do business transactions, the way we spend money, the way we build our lives here sa Dubai, what does it reveal about us? They have not known my ways. Thus God did not permit them to enter His rest. Yung rest dito, that's the promised land, the land of Canaan sa Old Testament. And we also see that this warning, hindi siya exclusive sa God's people in the Old Testament. Diba? It's not only in Psalm 95 and in Exodus 17 na sinabi ito. We see this repeated sa New Testament in Hebrews chapter 3 verses 7 to 11. We see the very words repeated. That's why the call to hear is the call to obey across old and new. The writer of Hebrews goes on and puts further emphasis on this warning, cautioning those readers in the New Testament to take care lest anyone be found with an unbelieving heart. This is in Hebrews 3. Leading them to fall away, calling one another, exhorting one another as long as it's today. So, as we see, brethren, the book of Hebrews urges us to listen with the same urgency. Diba? Today. Diba? Just like today. Ngayon. Makikita din natin dito that this warning seeks for us not to repeat the sins of the past. Pansinin natin that the emphasis on the word today is a contrast to that day sa Meribah. If we hear God's warning for us through His word and His people, let's not disregard it. When we are, pag may mga kapatiran na who calls you or wants to talks to you para to say something or to speak into your life, wag po natin i-disregard. Let's listen intently. Diba? Reflect on its biblical grounding. Look at its implications sa atin buhay. Diba? Hold muna natin yung pagiging defensive. Diba? Hindi yung, bro, pag gusto kita makausap, ano yan, ano yan? Diba? Wala, diba? Wala pa nga, eh, galit ka na. Diba? Wala pa. So, it's not that. Don't be that. Diba? Hold muna natin yun. Remember that we are covenanted as a church. Diba? It's a good reminder kanina when we read our covenant together. We are to exercise watchfulness with each other. And this watchfulness includes uncomfortable conversations about isa. Remember, brethren, that we're doing it in fulfillment of the covenant and practicing the one another, yung pagmamahal natin sa isa't isa. But just like the Israelites who long to return to Egypt, diba? I mean, the warning was there. Pero of course, we know sa Israel's history na wala naman, di naman sila sumunod pa rin. We continue to return to our sin, just like them. Proverbs 26:11, diba? Just like a dog returns to its own vomit. Our incapability to heed the warning or to continue in our rebellion, to grumble, to test God, to doubt His faithfulness, to disregard His sufficiency, to lust after other gods, or to covet the blessings of other nations. Our actions betray the real condition of our hearts. It is evidence enough that the same words that God swore in His wrath to Israel's generation in the wilderness be echoed to us. Our own failings and unbelief will also prevent us from entering the true rest of God. And yet, God's grace extends to us even more. Diba, we remember, point one, creator of the universe, transcendent, diba, so different from us. Point two, malapit na siya. He is our maker. He commits himself to us in a covenant relationship. He is the shepherd and we are the sheep. This time, God is closer. God is closer. God, Exodus 17, verses 5. Tingnan natin. And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel. And take your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile. And go, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So what did God do? God stood before Moses on the rock at Horeb. God stood before the rock to be struck down for the provision of life for the grumbling Israelites in the wilderness. Of course, we all know that they eventually died because their grumbling, their faithlessness did not change. Just like us. But the God-man, Christ Jesus, hung on the cross to be struck down by God for the sins of His people. He took it upon Himself. He took upon Himself the sins of His people so that their iniquities would not be counted against them. It was the Lord's will to crush Him. Isaiah 53, verse 10. In His grace, God provides a refuge for our sins time and time again. We see it in Genesis, when He provided the animal covering for the rebellious Adam and Eve. He provided the ark as a refuge against His judgment in the flood. He provided the ram for Abraham so that he would not have to kill his own son, Isaac. He gave His only son so that all who believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. Jesus was struck down so that now anyone who repents of their sins and trusts in Him, who He is, and what He has accomplished, whoever, big sinner, little sinner, diba? Blatant sinner, secret sinner, diba? Whoever trusts in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will live eternally, entering into the true rest, which is Christ. Drinking from the fountain of life, who is Himself, Christ, John 4:14. Christ is the spiritual rock, 1 Corinthians 10:4, that provided life for Israel in the wilderness, just as He provides everlasting life to His people now. And we are called to drink from this rock, our refuge in the coming wrath. We have no other refuge, brethren. We have no other hope. We are to run to Him, to depend on Him, to worship Him, to listen to Him in His Word, to obey Him, to cling to Him by faith. So if you're a Christian, praise God. Worship God for what He has done. Look to Christ, your rock and your salvation. Persevere in faith by the Holy Spirit. But if you're not a Christian, consider Christ. Think of your sin. Remember that God's wrath is coming. He's coming for all who have sinned and fallen short of His glory. But Christ is our refuge, the rock on whom we can trust. So if you don't have a saving knowledge of Christ, repent of your sin, brother or sister. Trust in Christ. If you want to know more, you can approach anyone in this church, any member of this church, the elders. You can approach us. God, our Creator, is the rock of our salvation. He is to be heard, obeyed, and worshipped. Let us pray. May we be forever awed by your grace, Father, the grace that you've given us in Christ Jesus, our Savior. May always take our refuge. May we always take our refuge in Him alone. May our joy and satisfaction in Him eclipse all other joys. May we hope in Christ alone. It's in His name we pray. Amen.